solstice. Gather round the cauldron for another episode of Good Witch, Bad Witch. Which witch are you?
Fans of true crime, it doesn't get any truer than this. A very special interview episode with criminal justice professor Stacey Hervey. Some of you may know her from Colorado True Crime Book Club and trivia at Spirit Hound. Give it up for this fascinating lady who has true tales to tell. And now, Shelley, Lisa, and Daryl.
Hey, happy Witchy Wednesday, everybody. We are so excited about today. There's a very special guest and very special surprise. But before that, I want to welcome you to our podcast, Good Witch, Bad Witch, with your bad witch, Lisa Brown.
Hi.
And your man witch, Daryl Brown.
How are you doing?
And I am your good witch, Shelley Majors. Heidly ho. It's been a minute. I haven't seen these guys in a while. And we're doing a show about crime today, in a way, and with an interesting twist, and with somebody who knows a lot more about things than we do. But before that happens, you guys are kind of penny ante criminals. You guys have committed some crimes, yeah?
Passion. Crime's a passion.
That's just that
what I'm most guilty. That's what I'm most guilty for. No. Breaking hearts is what I've done in my life.
Well, here's a question for both of you. Was there a crime that you committed that, you know, like literally against the law, that you never got caught? And I don't mean traffic.
Ooh, man. When's the statute of limitations up on stuff? Is I want to know, because I...
You don't want to incriminate yourself?
Yeah.
No, I remember, and I feel like I've talked about this, but, you know, we're at the point in our podcast where I don't remember if I've talked about it on the podcast or just talked about it with you guys in general.
And we're so famous, we'll probably get away with whatever.
Right, that's
although
true.
Although JT just got a WDWI.
Easy. Thank you for stepping on my witcha.
Oh,
easy,
shit.
Easy, my How heart. It's okay, you can still use it, but easy. It's still fresh in my memory.
It still hurts.
My boy, he's not doing good. He's out of jail, thank God. Whew.
Okay, we'll talk about it later.
Right.
Yeah.
So the only one, because I was never a big shoplifter, as opposed to other teenage girls who, you know, I was too afraid of anything. First of all, of getting in trouble with my mom, and then just, I just felt like I just was a wuss.
You and Karen were the best. You were good girls.
I just never did anything. But one time I was at Target, and I had a gift for someone. It was probably you, but I don't remember.
Where is it?
I already gave it to you. Okay. But it was a little box, probably like maybe a little bit smaller than a CD.
Okay.
And I thought it would be really, really cute to cover the whole thing with little teeny tiny bows.
Oh.
And stuff instead of...
Sorry, Fiona was getting in Shelly's purse. I didn't know if there was something in there delicious or anything.
Oh. Just crack cocaine.
Okay.
Perfect.
Oh, good. Okay, but I'm sorry.
So the little teeny tiny bows, and I was going to, instead of wrapping it, I was going to just put it all over the whole thing.
Adorable. But for those of you that don't know, Lisa likes teeny tiny things.
I do. I'm talking teeny ones.
Yeah.
But then I went to Target, and they were like a dollar a piece, so it would have been like $50 to cover it. And I was like, that is not happening.
Right.
So I put them in my pocket and walked out.
Oh, Lisa! Ooh.
I know.
Justifiable.
I really wanted to do it, but I really felt like Target was gouging the price.
I don't think you hurt them at all.
No?
Target's still around.
Are
you notice that, don't you? They're still running big and strong.
God.
I think you're pretty good.
Well, they were guilty of highway robbery.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I stole that one time. That's
it.
And I'm still afraid that they're going to come after me.
I threw away that box.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. So anyways, that was my big time.
You know, a couple of times at the grocery store, and it's not on purpose, but I've had stuff on the bottom of the basket, you know, on the very bottom. And, you know, doing your own scanning, this and that. And then I get out to the car. I'm like, oh, crap, I forgot that. And I'm like, well, if they have me on camera.
Right.
If they really think I stole it, they're going to come out and get me, right? So that's the last thing I load in. I'm looking around. Yep, they're not coming.
I also think that that's part of having to scan your own groceries.
It's got to be part of the price.
It's kind of like your employee bonus.
Right.
You're tipping yourself with an organic squash.
Actually, while we're talking about it, I just remembered something else. Another time, Daryl and I went to Home Depot. It was
on a Sunday.
And we had first gotten our last house, not this one, but our last one. Uh-huh. And we were going to put flowers in the front.
Uh-huh.
So we went there and we got a flat. And it took
flat
us,
cart. Yeah.
like a flat cart to put all the flowers on. And it took us probably 3 to 4 hours to pick
we
all the
perfect... We were being so picky.
We'd never done it before.
I mean, we
never
were making sure everything looked great. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was all the prettiest and everything and stuff and in our price range. And we're like, okay. So we go up to the counter and we're like, here we go. And they're like, yeah, we're closed. Yeah. And so...
We should have hurried it up a little bit.
They wouldn't ring them up. And I actually told the guy, then I'm going to steal these. I'm taking them home. And he's like, I don't care what you do.
We're closed. Just don't take the cart, lady.
Yeah. And I was like, so I'm taking all of these flowers because I ain't putting them back.
Right.
And I have to work tomorrow. So just so that you know, they're going
in my
with
cart.
Me.
Yeah.
And he's like, whatever.
Do whatever you want to do.
So I stole then again. But
you told
on myself.
But the guy kind of was... an accessory. He helped you. Yeah, go ahead, take it.
So he was aiding and abetting.
Yeah.
So he would have gotten in trouble way. Too if the cops would have come.
You know the young people today, how they don't give a shit? Yeah. It's actually working in your favor.
They did. Yes. That's where I go and I try to find a millennial every single time I check out. Right, and I'm like,
yeah.
Do you care if I pay for this?
Right. Find somebody with a shitty dye job whose clothes don't fit.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, you without the deodorant.
Yeah.
Taking these plants.
Like, they're like, whatever, hey, lady. It's almost time for me to go on break.
Right. I'm already dead inside.
Well,
yes.
I've told this story before, but we used to, when I was younger, we used to like to, you know, steal bikes.
Yeah.
You know, when I say younger, like 18, 19 years old.
So last year. Yeah.
But I still didn't have a license, and so we still were riding bikes. But we hit this same house up 3 years in a row.
You're a dick.
Yeah. Well, the guy got good bikes, you know, and we knew he'd leave it out in the front yard.
That is terrible. That's so terrible. I do not condone that behavior.
But anyway, so yeah, so that's bad. But as far as, gosh, you know, just the simple little here, there, you know, stealing stuff. Like when me and Paul, when we were little kids, we'd walk to the store and steal 5-cent candy and stuff like that. But I never did anything like major hardened, like steal anything big.
Bicycles are big.
Yeah. Well, I didn't take it right out of Walmart's, you know, back.
There's a little kid walking around wishing they had some wheels.
Right, and
well,
I think stealing
we taught
from
him a tough lesson now.
Stealing from a corporation is better than stealing from a child.
This
he
is
wasn't
flexible
a child.
Morality.
He was probably maybe 12, 13.
Right.
We were 18, 19.
Okay. Okay. I only stole 5-cent candy, too, maybe a backpack full of them,
yeah,
two or three times
that
a
you
week.
Would sell at
I also
school.
Went to jail for expired plates, but we've told that
you
story.
You didn't go to jail.
I went. I was in a jail cell. I am in
she was in there. Attica,
I was like, I was in
a
jail cell.
What are you in for? She goes, bad plates.
How do I not know this?
You were in the car when I got arrested.
Let's
hey,
talk
guys,
about it.
They were drinking.
You, no, yes, you
because
were totally
I'm a drinker, I forget every time that you're arrested. Can you just refresh my memory?
So I was driving in. We were coming back from Michael's Sports Machine doing karaoke. It was you, Colleen, maybe Dara. I just remember Jeff Goldman was there because he's the one who bailed me out because nobody else had any money.
Yeah,
thank you, Jeff.
That all tracks.
Yeah. And stuff. So they pulled me over because I had a warrant for expired plates.
Uh-huh.
Because I went, oh, yeah, wait.
You didn't pay it.
I didn't pay the expired plates ticket. That's why I had the warrant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anyways, so I got, they knew that it was me because of my personalized
well,
plates.
Yeah, when
that
you
said
have
Lisa
personal
P,
plates, that, yeah.
It was easier to find. So, the cops get a list of people who have warrants.
Okay.
And they're like, and usually like ABC, XYZ, they don't remember.
Uh-huh.
Well, that would be easy, but whatever. but they did remember that Lisa P was on there. Mm. They
right.
saw me. They pulled me over in the
all
parking
points
lot.
Bulletin. All points bulletin.
Circle K.
Oh my gosh, there was a bolo.
Yeah, so I pulled over at Circle K. They were behind me. I said, I'm going to jail. And you guys all laughed. And I'm like, no, I'm not kidding. There's a warrant out for my arrest. So I jumped out of the car and ran into Circle K thinking I could hide.
Uh-huh.
And I was wearing a dress. I still remember that because when they handcuffed me,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm handcuffed in the back of a car in a dress. It was very uncomfortable.
Sure.
So I gave Colleen my keys, told her to take you guys home and take my car home, figure it out.
Right.
And tell my parents. You guys called my parents. My parents said, we don't have any money. And so they took me to jail. My bond was $250. No, I think it was $550. I think you, all three of the girls came up with $250 and Jeff Goldman came up with the extra $300 going to the ATM.
Leave it to your friends. Your parents,
yeah.
They let her stay in the pokey.
Yeah, my parents are like, it's in the middle of the night.
We don't got no money for you. you, Lisa? Yeah.
How do I not remember this?
That's and huge. And then you guys all came and picked me up from the jail.
You know what's hypocritical about that? What? Is you were probably the only sober one.
No, definitely, you know it was.
Here, drive my car trunk to come get me. Yeah. So, exactly. Yeah. So, and then the kicker was that when I went to go to pay the fine for my thing, the judge banished. What did we be?
Threw the case out.
Because he said I had been through enough.
Oh,
so that was nice.
God, you should have got that judge's name. Yeah. Jeez.
But he's like, that's really dumb. And I'm like, yeah, you think?
And this was in Arvada?
So I got pulled over in Arvada.
But where'd you go? Where was the jail?
In Brighton.
Oh, that's why.
Oh,
yeah, if it had been Arvada, they'd have hung you. They need the money.
Okay, yeah.
I've never gotten away with anything in Arvada.
Is where I got pulled over.
Yeah, Brighton, they're a little bit more. Oh, we see the hardened criminal. They're like, this poor gal's been through enough. She went to the pokey.
Yeah.
And this woman is an example to all of your grandchildren.
Right, yeah. Yes, yeah, it is.
Don't pay your fines,
So what about you? Come on.
I don't do anything wrong.
No?
Yeah, no. She's just bailing Lisa out left and right.
Yeah.
No, there was one time. The night that we were up at Red Rocks and that there wasn't a show with Jim Victor and some other people, and Jim was singing opera on the stage, and I think there might have been outdoor urination, but we were drinking beers, Schaefer's Light, if I remember.
Ooh, back in
and
the day.
And we were leaving at like 11:30, and the curfew was 11 o'clock. And I think we each got a $100 fine.
Yeah, everybody but me and Shayla, we left early.
Oh, lucky. See?
Well, here's the kicker on that one. See, I remember everything except for nothing.
Just can't remember yesterday, folks.
Right. But you guys all got fines, and me and Shayla didn't, and we like made fun of you, like ha ha ha. And then when we went to Vegas, we were in two different cars, and both Shayla was driving your car, and I was driving another car, and we both got pulled over, and me and Shayla both got speeding tickets.
Karma.
So it was a karma thing, yeah, totally. Yeah.
What have we learned today, Lisa?
Not a whole lot.
Karma.
Although I did want to talk just really fast about criminals we know.
Yeah.
So in 1991-ish, I think I was around 19 or 20.
All right.
The Rocky Mountain News, which to you children was a newspaper that actually came to your driveway every single day.
A kid would deliver it right to your driveway, in the
and
mud puddle.
And it was made out of trees.
And they used ink.
Yep. Right. And it wasn't the only one.
No. Yeah, there was two of them, but this was the Rocky Mountain News.
Mm-hmm.
They came out with an edition called... the Colorado's top five wanted criminals.
Yes.
I knew two of the people on that.
I was on the list.
Okay, are we not saying because you don't want to hit?
One of them was one of my friend's ex-boyfriends.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the other one was, I don't remember her name. I think it was Judy, and I don't remember why. I think it was Judy. She was an older woman for the time, because I was 19 or 20.
Right.
I remember I was in nail school.
Uh-huh.
She was probably in her 60s.
Okay.
And she was in nail school with me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she used to be like totally set on these things called aqua nails, where you would put the acrylic on and put your nails underwater and it would harden them.
Interesting.
Yeah, I still have never
done
aqua nails.
Is that what her crime was, for having cheap nails?
Yeah. They're like, that stupid lady, you're going
damn
to jail.
Damn aqua chick.
No.
Your nails ought to be a crown.
So she was on the cover. I was actually out of nail school by this time, but I saw Judy on the cover.
Judy.
And it was because she had hit and ran and killed somebody.
Oh my gosh. Judy.
Yeah, in her car.
And she is on the lam they were looking
apparently.
For?
Apparently. And so I actually did call about that. Like, I was like, hey, so this woman went to nail school with me, like, last year, whenever it was, and you might want to call Ultima Beauty School. They may have some information.
Her address, at least.
Yeah, and they were like, and I kind of felt bad, because she seemed a nice enough lady, but she also murdered somebody, so then I didn't feel
they
yeah, you got to stop and check on them.
Right.
Yeah, they called over their school. Oh, you're talking about old Aqua Judy? Yeah. She's a criminal. Get her.
Every time I hit somebody with my car, I stop and check on them.
Yeah. Right.
I'm like, do you want to ride to the hospital?
Yeah. And I think I don't remember what was up with the boyfriend. It wasn't anything huge. It was like more like stealing or like
Right.
Yeah, because they used to do
car
that a lot.
Theft
they, like,
and stuff like that.
Yeah, car theft and stuff like that.
Yeah, it wasn't. Bad but news. She was like higher on than one, wow. and I think right. he was like nine.
Well, yeah,
Lisa, that's a dangerous
she
crowd.
She does. After,
I
you
did.
Know, she, when she was in the pokey that time, she was like meeting people.
Yeah, I was like in my dress going, Attica, hey, Judy, what are you doing?
Judy, what are you doing in here? Judy.
Nail school is like the cell block tango.
It is.
Yeah, totally crazy.
Scary people.
Okay.
Hey, well, we're going to be right back with our very special guest.
Yes.
Yay, let's do it.
Boop. Already. Are you okay? You okay? You okay, Annie? Are you okay? You okay? You okay, Annie? You've been hit by, you've been struck by a smooth criminal.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I am super excited to introduce you to my friend today. You know how when you're an adult and you don't just get to meet friends by saying, hey, let's go play, let's go hang out on the slide or whatever. And people come into your life just kind of like when people used to date, not online, and you'd meet people that were interested in the same things as you are.
Right.
And kind of run in the same circles. And then when you finally meet and talk, it's just like, oh, well, you know so-and-so, or you did this, or I love this, or whatever. So anyway, please give a warm welcome to my good friend, Stacey Hervey. Thank you for coming to the show, Stacey. I want to tell everybody that, so I really met Stacey at Spirit Hound at the tasting room, and she ended up doing some really cool things for us, and so the other witches got to meet her too. She did some forensics camps on fingerprinting, and we had a true crime book club and all of that good stuff. But she is a criminal justice professor.
I am.
Yes, at more than one place, yes?
Yes, I teach high school and college criminal justice, and I
absolutely
teach all over the place. I love it.
And you went to see you. We actually have some friends in common and all of that. And we can talk about that, like what your plans are for later, what you want to do with your summer when you're not teaching. But you just have such a massive skill set. And I wanted to ask, what got you into true crime?
Oh, gosh.
Because didn't you have a family connection that interested you way before there were all the podcasts and documentaries?
It was when the FBI showed up at my mom's wedding.
At your mom's wedding.
Okay. were they not on the invitation list.
Oh,
it's right here. FBI, yes, you're in.
And spill I was 12 tea. And okay. just starting to look at boys, and they were hot.
Well, of course.
So I was talking to them, and my mom was really upset. My uncle was on the lam, and they were there to see him.
If he showed up.
He showed up, yes.
Nice.
Did he?
No, he did not.
Okay.
He had a few more years outside until he got caught.
That's so. One wedding I'm not going to.
Yes. Do you want to tell that story?
Sure.
You don't have to.
Oh, gosh, I can share anything.
Okay.
Oh, good.
So my uncle, you know, in our family, we have to do everything big. It can't be small scale. So my uncle learned how to navigate a boat. And I mean, we're a landlocked state, but he learned how to navigate a boat. And him and some friends, they bought a, I hope I'm saying it right, trawl in Germany for $300,000. Took it to Thailand and picked up 8 tons of marijuana. I mean, imagine 1977. Marijuana was still very illegal at the time.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And $300,000 was a hell of a lot of money in 1977.
Exactly. So they took it to Oregon, and they had bought this house in Oregon, and they had kind of shut off the beach to the hunters and the fishers.
Okay.
And so they got really upset about this, and so they started to report them. And so the feds started to look into them. And on New Year's Eve, I believe, I think it was 1977, they had amphibian boats that were going to drive out to the trawl and bring the marijuana in. But the FBI had started to watch them and the DEA and caught them during this.
Oh.
Yeah, never a good thing. So my uncle, went to court, and he got out on bail. You know, drug dealers tend to have money hanging around.
Sure.
So right, got out on bail.
I can make bail, sir.
And then he left. He left to Florida.
Well, he probably knew Jeff Goldman.
Yeah. He didn't get bailed. That's funny.
Yeah.
So, left to Florida, and then it was weird because my mom would go get these calls at the payphone, and I'd just be sitting in the car eating my Cheetos or whatever snack I had. And I'd be like, I'm 6 years old. What the hell's happening?
What's taking so long here, Mom? Talk here.
Wait, was she in on it?
She knew. Well, my dad sold drugs in for him.
Yeah.
So my mom, I just learned this last year. We moved a lot as a kid, but my mom said she made us move after the police came to our house one day to execute a search warrant. Mm-hmm. I don't remember it. She's like, I was so embarrassed. The neighbors wouldn't let anyone play with you anymore.
Oh. We'll play with that jailbird family member. It'll rub off on you. You'll become a bad kid.
We lived on the wrong side of the tracks. Oh. I don't know if you've ever been to Longmont, but it's a strange little town.
We had to put a pork chop around your neck so the dog would play with you.
You got a friend in me.
Oh, poor Stacy.
I know. For me. So
when did you get all the truth? When did you understand the whole thing?
Oh, about 4 years ago when I saw the New York Times article on it.
So readily readable. You can read about it.
Yeah, so article. It was in the Rocky Mountain Times. It was in the Denver Post. It was in all the local papers. And my uncle, eventually someone turned him in and he got caught. He actually it's my understanding he testified against the cartel, but he had to wear
being witness protection or something like that.
How long was he on the lam for?
So a couple of years.
Okay.
It was before mandatory sentencing, so he did not spend much time in the federal jail. I don't remember how long, but a couple of years. Now, he'd be there forever. But,
right.
So he got out and became a salesperson.
That makes sense.
Wasn't he already a salesperson, though, in all retrospect?
When he went to jail, we got a lot of nice radio equipment.
Oh, okay.
And I got a pony, but it was a really mean pony. I didn't even get to ride it because it was so mean. But
you were feeding it the wrong grass.
That's terrible. Do you have a relationship with him at all?
Yeah. He lived in Loveland for a long time, and then he just moved back east. But he's totally reformed now. I'm going to share this story. He actually called me a couple of years ago, and he goes, I bought a trailer that you tow.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I bought a trailer because we want to travel. And he goes, but I'm so scared that maybe someone hid drugs on it. Do you have any drug dogs that can come
I don't blame him. That's legit. Now, that's really going, So he's all happy. He's all proud of himself. I changed my world around. I got a niece that's in the criminal law thing. She'll help. You got one of those sniffing dogs.
I'm still on parole.
But yeah, you never know. That'd be just the poor guy's luck. He buys this and all of a sudden he gets pulled over and there's 80 pounds of marijuana back here. He's like, but I'm innocent.
The cops don't have time for stuff like that with Lisa stealing bowed boxes left and right.
Totally.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, Stacy, I know this isn't your first podcast. Will you tell us about the other one that you were on?
Yeah, I was on the Badass Woman of Central Park, just kind of talking a little bit about my life story and what I do for a living. And
fun.
Yeah, I love everything I do. I love teaching about criminal justice, and I'm kind of glad the FBI showed up at that wedding that
day. There's kind of the Kickstarter, all right.
Well, to the listeners, some of the things that Stacy does that's so cool when she's not teaching, at Spirit Hounds, you did a true crime trivia, and it was awesome because it was all Colorado criminals, and you think that you would remember all of them, but Lisa and I are always surprised at all of the Colorado crime that we don't know about, like that lady who she killed her boyfriend. There was another drug situation that you just found out about, Fort Collins, something like that. In any case, the true crime trivia, that would have been a good question that we would have got wrong.
I was actually listening to a podcast, because I listen to all kinds of true crime podcasts, but my one of choice right now is Sword and Scale, and they were talking about a case of a woman in Colorado Springs or Castle Rock, south, and I remember, so there was a little girl who was really sick, and she wanted to be Batgirl princess. Do you remember?
Oh, wow.
No. That's very specific.
Yeah, because she was she loved superheroes, but she also loved princesses or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyways, they gave her all of these make-a-wishes, and I remember seeing her because she was in a pink Batgirl outfit. Mm-hmm. She was really cute. Yeah. This and that. What I didn't know is that apparently it was a case of Munchausen by proxy, the mom was, and she died, the little girl, unfortunately. The only thing that she really had wrong with her was eczema, the mom started Munchausening the next sister, and that's
the whole cycle over again.
Yeah, and that's when they figured out. Anyways, just again, in my own backyard, remember the good part, if you can say that's a good part. Well, at least that was probably the best part of her life. But they had all of that on the news, but yet the news never covered the Munchausen, and this lady went to jail for life and blah, 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 blah.
Wow. Oh, so, my gosh.
Yeah, so I'm sorry.
Very Gypsy Lee. No, that's very interesting.
Totally, yeah.
So much Colorado crime.
Yeah.
But we're skipping a huge part of Stacey's life right now because you didn't go from criminal uncle to criminal justice professor.
Criminal uncle.
There was something kind of important in the middle.
He was my crunkle.
Were you or were you not a police lady?
I had a very short stint as a police officer, so...
Did you bust a cap?
I pulled my gun
in
once.
In anybody's ass.
I pulled my gun once, and it was very exciting.
Oh.
But I was a police officer in Boulder for a very short time period. I actually... 1991, when you talk about true crime, I actually had two high school friends who were murdered up in Left Hand Canyon.
Oh, my gosh.
And that really kind of... solidified that I wanted to go into this field because I became a little bit obsessed with their case. But
right.
The guy had broken out of a medium security jail and he killed a convenience store clerk, someone else, and then he went up to Left Hand Canyon and some guys were target shooting, three of my friends and then two other guys, and he told them they had shot out the his truck's taillight. And imagine, Boulder, in the early 90s.
Right.
You don't think anything nefarious is going to happen.
Right.
So he convinced them that he was a park ranger and they had to turn over his guns, and then he just assassinated them.
Oh my God.
I know two of my friends died. Uh-huh. One got away. I believe another kid died, too.
Wow.
But just a horrific story.
And you're around our age, right? I'm sure your friends were, what,
I'm
early
Gen
20s?
X. Yeah, 53.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Feral
same
Gen
age
X
as
child.
Same yeah. Age as us.
Yep. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry that that happened to you.
So
that's
that
terrible.
That really kind of led me into, I did an internship. I switched my major to sociology, did an internship at the Boulder Police Department, became a police officer, and could not do night shift. I was a farmer in a previous life.
Nice.
I'm up by 6:30 every day.
Yep, yep.
What, 6:30 comes in again? Twice a day? That is crazy.
How funny.
That's about when Daryl goes to bed.
Yeah, I'm like, Lisa's walking out. Good night, honey.
Yeah, yeah.
So when did you pull your gun?
There was this guy who had, I have two really good stories from Boulder. He had climbed a balcony, got into this girl's apartment, and sexually assaulted her for hours. And then she finally got away and jumped off the balcony. And so we went to the door, and he opened it, and he tried to convince us that he was her boyfriend. I'm like, that's...
He opened the door. Boy, am I blushed.
I'm not thinking that college girl's ever going to date someone like you. So we had our gun pulled and took him in. Thankfully, he was convicted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But Boulder has some great criminals. Some great criminals.
Can we go back to your friends? Just sorry.
Yeah,
really fast.
No.
Was the guy convicted of that?
He was. There was actually a huge manhunt, and they caught him at the Elks Club.
Oh.
The Elks
oh.
Club? I think
of
it was
course.
The Elks Club.
That's where they all hide.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. But, I mean... Okay, I'll let you tell the story, but yeah, I'm curious about the conviction, the sentencing, that I'm assuming there was some sort of mental evaluation.
I don't know if they did one back then. I don't know if that was
a Because that's so
thing.
Kooky.
That is crazy.
They ended up shooting him.
Yeah.
And they shot him in the nose, and they didn't kill him. Boulder wasn't a big advocate of the death penalty, even though...
Right.
That's weird. Yeah. Boulder liberal? Strange.
Liberal conservative.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as you look like that. But, so he got life in jail. I still check on him occasionally. But
wow.
Yeah.
Did you ever want to have contact with him?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I did talk to all the officers who helped arrest him.
I'm all over the place, sorry, but Daryl's grandpa was a Boulder police officer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Was it
yeah.
around the same time?
What was his name?
No, his name was Earl Brown. He was retired in the early 70s.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he fought in the war. He was an MP in the war. Then he got out and then became a Boulder policeman. Yeah. He nobody liked him.
Was it the Civil War? How old do you think he was?
My grandpa was a hard ass, and we talked about this, but when we did the small dones thing, my grandpa used to chase the small dones because they used to cruise through, they'd like bootleg booze through Boulder and Lafayette to get,
oh, wow.
You know, and he would catch them all the time, and he would be like, checkers, how many more times are we going to go through this? You know, he was constantly, he goes, I chased the small dones more than anybody. But yeah, because they thought, you know, here's hokey dokey Boulder. But no, they, you know, I think I seriously think my grandpa had an informant. So he knew when they were going to be coming through? Because, I mean, how are you going to catch them every time? But, yeah, he always...
He probably paid them off, or they paid him off.
Yeah.
Too.
Like, probably said, here's a couple extra for you, Earl. Take these home and have a good night. No.
So,
but speaking of, like, Netherlands is close to Boulder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When, yeah, that's an interesting town as well.
When I worked
Netherlands with a D, not Netherlands, a country.
Yeah. When I worked in I worked for this gentleman's club in Thornton, and up the street was a gas station, one of those ones where you just open up the window and you pay, you know, through the window. Some guy was in the bar where I worked and was getting kind of handsy and out of hand, and I kicked him out. Well, he looked at me, he goes, I'll come back, I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, if I had a dime for everybody that told me that, you know. He takes off. Well, he took his aggressions out on a gal that was running the little gas station, drug her through the window, took her up to Netherlands, stabbed her over 84 times, you know, raped her and stabbed her, left her for dead. She crawled out of a field to the dirt, first dirt road she could find, wow. And somebody found her. She lived.
Thank God.
And everything. But so the police came to my work, and my boss was like, he was an ex-cop, and he goes, I just really don't want to get involved. And they're like, if somebody knows something, you know, we need to, you know, they need to speak up. And I go, I know, I think I can describe the guy to you. Describe him to a T. That night on Channel 4, Channel 7, Channel 9, when we only had like three stations, you know, the composite that I helped them draw up was on the news. They caught the guy.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. And so I told my boss, I said, well, don't you think we should send that gal some flowers? He goes, I don't want to get any more involved than we have. Well, he was so underground and doing bad things on the side. He didn't want them coming, you know, back. And I'm like, oh, but just, I always remember that. And I was like, it just makes me so happy that the gal survived.
Yeah.
You know, but just, you know, this guy was being a dipshit and has to take aggression out, and then goes and takes it out on this poor little gal, you know, so.
That's terrifying. If he hadn't killed her, he might have come back and killed you. And then Lisa would have married Al Roker.
Yeah.
Things work out for a reason.
But back to you, the funny thing, okay, you're a small stature person, and so our daughter, our youngest daughter, said she was going to go to, she wanted to become a cop. Mm-hmm. I'm going to become a cop. Me and my son go, Amber, you couldn't even pick up the gun to say stop.
She's tiny.
And she goes, oh, you bet I could. We're like, no. So then she goes, oh, I'm going to go to the Navy. And Brett's like, what's your infatuation with all this? Why don't you just be, you know. Luckily, she ended up having a baby.
Luckily, she got pregnant.
But it's so funny now. But her and her husband are he's a hunter, you know, guy, and he's into hunting. But he got her a 9mm, and she goes out and she loves to shoot the gun. You know,
and guns are a pretty good equalizer for petite ladies, would imagine, Stacey.
You know, I'm thinking, you're going to try and lift up a gun. Freeze!
That's funny. Well, hey.
Hey, the man which is a sexist.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, it's just funny. But believe me, some of the scariest women I've ever been arrested by, I mean, were.
How many have arrested you? Women, especially.
Keep digging, buddy.
Can I have another shot? This one's gotten a little dull over here.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, let's
good intentions over here.
Let's bring it back to Steve.
Yeah, let's come back, yeah.
I do have a question. Did you have a true crime case that you were ever obsessed with?
Oh, gosh, there's several.
Yeah, me too.
Well, one in particular that you think that you could have solved, or you have a theory, I guess. We talk about JonBenet all the time, and everybody's got a theory. But,
oh, gosh. Yeah,
and that was JonBenet, in your neck of the woods.
I left the department right before JonBenet happened. I've read every book on that. Mm-hmm. I've heard Lou Smith's, I think that's his name, talk about it. I go back and forth.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, at first I was convinced it was someone inside the family, mm-hmm. and now I kind of go with, it might have been an intruder. And I think with DNA,
yes.
and the advances in DNA, I do think they will eventually come closer.
I hope so. With genealogical DNA, you know, somebody's related to somebody that's in the system.
And there was just small amounts, but it's my understanding there were small amounts on several parts of her, so it wasn't just touch DNA randomly.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah.
And both the dad and the brother, they're like, we'll give you a sample. You know, we know we're not it, mm-hmm. you know, and that is so telling also.
Pineapple is what throws me off on that case, because she had pineapple in her stomach. Mm-hmm. Parents said they brought her home, put her right to bed. There was pineapple
in
the
somebody
kitchen.
Was up playing, not playing with her, but like, you know, hey, are you hungry? So, yeah.
Eat some pineapple before I kill you.
Yeah.
Or the brother, I don't know.
That's why I always thought that, I mean, there was so much stuff with the brother, with the hitting her in the head with a golf club, like when before.
Or and whatever. Then we thought it was a cover up.
Yeah, and then like in the pineapple, and I don't know. It just, and then also the other thing that I always thought was weird, apparently with the phone call, the 911 phone call, at the end of it, the mom, you can hear the mom say, "What did you do?" or something.
Uh-huh.
And stuff like she's asking somebody else.
What was dude's name?
Burke.
Burke. Yeah. What did you do? And he's like, I just had some pineapple and watched a little bit of SpongeBob. That's all I did.
But so, the strangely worded ransom note. And
Who writes? Well, lucky on you, you got out of the department before all that happened.
Yeah, boy, it sure
does not look good on them at all. I mean, that's a...
I also have a client whose aunt was the 911 operator.
No.
So that's interesting.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'd actually like to talk to her sometime. I sell her leggings, but I would like to talk to her sometime about what she kind of things. But.
I would like to talk to any 911 operator because the worst and only job interview that I never got the job was for a 911 operator. Yes. And it was, you know, a whole meeting of people. There was a whole panel and it was all like trying to catch me, say that I'm unethical or whatever. But I'll just tell Stacy the story really quick about the interview. But you know how when you are trying to say one thing, but something else could be the thing, and I combine the things. So anyway, they're just like, have you ever stolen from work? Have you ever done this? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever not reported a whatever, whatever, whatever? And anyway, I was trying to say, you know, I like to be able to sleep at night. And I also was trying to say, I like to be able to look myself in the mirror. You know, I have a conscience, I have ethics. And what I did say is, I like to look at the mirror at night.
And they're like, myself in the mirror.
Next. Yeah. So they thought I was big cuckoo pants. But,
chicks into herself.
Yes, but I was really grateful that I didn't get that job because I think I would not be able to leave it at 5 o'clock or whatever. I would always want to know the follow-up stories or, you know, if some little kid called me or like that. That guy that called when he saw Ruby Famke's son had escaped, and he's emaciated and whatever. He's calling 911 crying, this cute old man.
Yeah.
And I just wouldn't be able to look in the mirror or sleep at night.
Oh, Ruby Frankie.
Yes.
Yeah.
What did I say? Famke?
Yes. Whatever.
Something Swedish, that bitch.
That was a crazy story.
That is.
Absolutely.
A crazy story.
And I could see with you being curious, smart, but also sensitive, that, you know, that the police work might have been. I don't know. That's rough stuff. Yeah. I think if anybody could do it, you could, but I just couldn't. So what got you from police work to teaching?
So I left police work. And I'm like, now what do I do? But I had a good paying job. So I said, well, I'm going to think about teaching. And so I actually was going back to school to be a social studies teacher. And then this job with DPS came into fruition. Teaching criminal justice. I'm like, I can do that.
Nice.
Hey, did you already have a criminal justice degree at that point?
I had a sociology degree, and okay. I was in grad school for education, and I'll be honest, I hated it. Mm-hmm. Like, how many colored and did weird touchy-feely stuff. Like,
Not my gig.
So I got hired for this job, and I immediately switched my master's degree to criminal justice.
Okay.
I don't think I need an education. No offense to those who have an education.
Right. It's
degree.
Not for everybody.
Come on, keep going. I need somebody else in the show to dig themselves into a hole right now.
And then I got some college gigs, and it's been such a great career. So.
Yes. And I think by educating people, especially in this particular area, you're promoting safety. You know, if you, what's your primary area of interest in it? Like, if you were to work for the FBI, if you want to be a profiler or that sort of thing, what is your favorite part to teach, I guess?
I love the profiling threat assessment part of it. I love hate crimes, group violence,
not in practice, but
yeah,
as far as
I
teaching.
Try not to do that too often.
That's what I do on the weekends. I'm a dominatrix.
Where's the sign-up sheet?
Everybody fight.
But the dynamics of that, you're like, why would people do this? But to me, that's the most interesting.
I always think
and that's
that
how you avoid it.
Yeah, well, I think the things that you're usually most interested about are the things that your brain can't process.
Yes.
That because you would never do it.
Right.
Except because, I mean, I was one of the first people ever who was really, really into serial killers.
But in your group or made it popular or whatever.
Like when I was, when I said this before, but when I was in high school, I had serial killer trading cards and stuff. Yeah, I had both sets. Full sets. And everybody thought it was really weird. But I always said it's because I would never do this.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff. These people intrigue me because they're so out of my
right.
realm.
You didn't put them on a pedestal. You wanted to know what made them tick.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think is, like, you get interested in stuff that you just can't understand why somebody's mind would work like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And my job is a great justification for all the crime shows and serial killer novels I read.
Yeah, I need it.
Like, I'm doing research here.
Exactly.
Well, I, like I said, I used to get so many people who would just, like, give me such a weird look about the fact that I loved to, you know, all of that stuff, that I was so, I always get immersed and obsessed with something. Started with Diane Downs for me and stuff, and then went to, you know, just the Barbie and Ken killers were a big one for me too.
Because you can't wrap your head around it.
Well, not only can you not wrap your head around it, but it's also like your generation. So like I was the same age as Diane Downs' kids. And then I was the same age as Carla Homolka, you know, and around. And so it was like, how can she be doing stuff that, you know, like when she looks like me, because she got really big hair. So, you know, just very, very strange stuff. And then I'd read everything I could about that case and stuff, and on to the next one. People thought it was so weird. And now everybody's into it, mostly because of podcasting, I think.
You invented the action before the language was invented, I think, in terms of deep dives, rabbit holes, whatever. Yes. When Lisa likes something, she just reads everything and watches everything until it's exhausted.
Yeah.
And I never got it until I started doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But, and well, that'll be in our next show and stuff. It's kind of cool because there's so much information now that you can be skeptical. You can say, oh, well, you know, well, this was the background, or this actually happened. There's so much actual proof and different ways to get your information.
Right.
And Lisa has been doing that since. You really should have been an investigative journalist.
I still can.
You still can. You're not dead yet.
There's time. I just, you know, I'll just get the criminals. I'll do their damn nails, and they'll tell me everything.
Now tell me.
Yeah, they will. That's how I get my kids to tell me stuff as I do their nails. I'm like,
sit down. Let me do your nails.
Exactly. They're literal a prisoner when you have their hands. So, Stacey, I know I met you at Spirit Hounds, but I don't know if you guys knew this funny story. So she went to see you, and Blake Street Tavern is, of course, a CU bar.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was there all the time. And then when we had coffee, I'm like, I thought you looked familiar. And she's like, I thought you looked familiar.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's great. We just have run in very similar circles, I think. But you met your husband at school, right? He's a teacher also? Art?
Yes, he's a welding teacher.
Isn't that sexy? He's like Flashdance.
Yeah.
He's a welding teacher.
Does he wear his like shirt over one shoulder?
Like with leg warmers?
Only at night. Not in front of his students.
Is that your kink? No, just kidding.
I think we found your Halloween costume.
Yeah, right.
He's like, what are you dressing me up as? Do you just go with it, baby?
You're a maniac.
He seems really laid back and stuff, so I can see him going, yeah, the flashback, whatever. What is it?
Flashdance.
Flashdance joke again.
Hot flashes. Black dance, what?
But with what school did you meet him, and is he tolerant of your interest or supportive of your interest?
We met at CEC Early College. We both teach high school. He does not understand, because I get anxiety sometimes, like every adult Gen X person. He's like, but you watch serial killer videos and you go to sleep to Dateline. How can you have anxiety?
Me too! Oxygen, right?
You know, yes. I sleep with one eye open because all she does is pump all this stuff in her head. And I'm like, okay, I kind of made her mad. So am I okay? Am I going to be okay?
Here's what you learned already.
Yeah, it has antifreeze
so
in it.
We do share our bathroom. So I'll be taking my contacts out and I hear the TV. And then after he severed her head, he stuck it in a bowling bag and went walking with it for days. And I'm like, Jesus, how do you sleep to that? I go in my room, I turn on Sesame Street, and I'm like, oh God, thank you, take me back.
Well, I think we can all agree that you need a palate cleanser. Every once in a while, like, we'll switch it off with dramas like Firefly Lane or some comedies.
Thank God.
Like, we're just watching stand-up comedy after a 12-hour run of head severing. But I don't think I could go to bed to it very often.
Keith Morrison's voice puts me to sleep.
So it's smile just, lit up the room.
Right. It's
exactly.
Just so,
they all do.
Yeah. It's just
and then
so.
He cut her head
and
off.
I love. Josh
Did
Manx.
You do it with?
Oh, he's so great.
Oh, Joshy Manx is the best. Josh Mankiewicz, he just has the best voice too. So Dateline's good. As far like my podcast, Sword and Scale, If I listen to too many of those, it starts to mess with my head because it's very, very violent and there's a lot of kid stuff, and that is where I don't draw the line because obviously I listen to it, but it's hard for me. And so sometimes I just have to switch it to Smartless or something that I don't have to think about anything anymore. So, yeah.
Yeah, and he doesn't really leave anything to the imagination. It's very graphic, and I usually think that most people are kind of pussies or whatever. Like, there's too many trigger warnings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But with something like that, yes, I would like a trigger warning if a kid is about to be hurt.
It's pretty bad. But it's also he dives into some cases that I've never heard of before, and I'm kind of sick of the same ones over and over.
Yeah, and he does a lot of research. He does a lot of research. I'm just saying, every once in a while, could you let a person know
that
something that horrific.
Here's a warning coming up at you. Yeah.
But although every time I push play, I guess I'm kind of, you know, taking my own risks.
Well, there's that. Well, and it does say that at the beginning, there is a warning.
Yeah.
It's like this episode of Scorn Scale is not for intended for all audiences.
Well, with that being said, Andrea Canning on Dateline.
Yeah.
I like her and they're all great.
Yeah.
She has a bunch of kids. I think she has a mess of kids.
Oh.
And so every once in a while, I think she's phoning it in because she's coming in. She slept for 5 minutes the night before and she looks like a smoke show or whatever. But she seems the most guilty to me of just repeating what just happened.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you feel when you found that body? How do you think I felt? So you felt surprised? Shocked?
It just kind of snuck up on you?
Was your feeling unease?
Goodness.
That's
Andrea!
Does your husband listen to any true crime stuff?
Nope, nothing
at all, huh?
He's an ancient alien.
Wow.
And you, like, you can't even say, oh my God, I heard this, you just don't tell him about a case or anything.
Separate lives? Just separate lives.
We were at dinner, and cops have dark sense of humor. So we were at dinner with two cops one night, and me and my significant other, and we started telling a few war stories.
Yeah.
And suddenly he's kicking me, and I'm like, what? He goes, everyone is looking at you guys.
The whole crowd. Yeah.
He goes,
The restaurants.
Because we're interesting.
Well, and it's probably survival, right? Gallows humor. I'm sure nurses do
it. Your poor husband. He's like, so you take the arc welder and you. Everybody's like, we don't want to hear about that. He watches all those car shows and stuff, right? Garage shows
he's
and stuff
big
like
car
that.
Car guy, guitar guy,
nice.
Ancient aliens guy.
Yeah. I got to have him over sometime so we can share stories about guitars.
Yes. No, yeah. I think it's one of those you have to laugh. Or
do any of you guys know that Keith Morrison was
Matthew Perry's stepdad?
Matthew Perry. Okay, so I'm watching the news after that, and I see him at the scene. I'm like, that's a little early to write a show on that.
He's a ambulance chaser.
I'm like, that's so rude. Right? And then I realized that's a stepdad.
Dateline goes, get over there now. He's like, I'm already here.
I was so offended. I was such a Friends fan.
That's
what the hell?
Awesome.
Why are they letting him in?
Then he goes over and hugs the mom. Gosh, get on in there, buddy.
Like, right? Already? I was like one of those... Oh,
yeah,
my bad mistake.
That. You did.
Funny. Yeah.
But that would be funny if he was narrating it. Yeah. Chandler found out who his true friends were.
Yeah. He had a smile that lit up the room.
Yeah, and he did.
But could not take in too much water like the Titanic. Sorry.
Oh, no, too soon.
Too soon.
Well, Keith's there.
I would be cutting you off, too. People are looking at
us. Do you listen to Killer Psyche?
I do not.
It's awesome. Okay. So do you know who Candace DeLong is?
Yes.
Yeah, so she's the FBI forensic nurse and stuff. So she has that, and it's why they did what they did. And she had actually known a lot of these people and had interviews with them, like the Unabomber, et cetera, and some modern ones. Like, who was that? Brian Laundrie kid? Van Life. Yeah. All of those. But they're just fascinating.
Gabby, what's her name? Gabby?
Landry? No.
Petito. Yeah.
But she does the deep dive into the killers' psyches and backgrounds and, you know, the abuse they endured growing up and stuff. And every once in a while, it's just like, yeah, totally normal family. Who knew? It's cuckoo pants. But they're fascinating. And they're usually only about 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then she does some daily ones that are... updates, like if people are going through a trial, for instance, the who's the lady, the cuckoo pants, her and her boyfriend killed her kids.
Oh,
the Idaho.
Yes. And she's the big god.
But they thought everybody was filled with demons.
Mama Doomsday.
Yes, and they killed her husband and her brother, I believe.
No.
Or her brother.
Her husband, her brother killed her husband, and then her new boyfriend killed his wife, and then they killed the two kids.
That's right.
Are those the people who went to Hawaii?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, God. And they're like, where are the kids? Lori, where are the kids?
Lori Beller. Yes.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
After all that, I think we deserve a nice vacation.
Yes. Yeah. But
we're not going to take the kids anymore, right?
Yeah. Hey.
Oh.
We're going to get straight to the line of the rides this now with less people.
Yeah. If it's 12 and under, we're free. Hey, it's your 13th birthday. Guess what? No, but that's terrible. But they do updates on the trials also.
Yeah, so thankfully, I think he's been convicted. And
yeah. Bye.
She needs to be convicted. Too.
Yeah.
She's been convicted, yes. They just found out that he got convicted. He got, God, I know it's life in prison. I think he might have gotten the death sentence.
Good.
Okay.
He was going to appeal that. She did not.
Because she squealed on him, and he wouldn't squeal on her.
Yes.
I think she was a, what is it? A stool pigeon?
A stoolie.
A rat? Nope, because it's
a rat.
Old-timey.
Yeah, she's old-timey. I have a question. Mm-hmm. If you had a cold case that you could find out, you don't have to even do anything, they just told you. God came down and said, Stacy, we're going to tell you what happened.
Okay, there's two. It's
50-50
split.
Okay. Okay.
JFK and John Benet Ramsey.
Which one?
JFK.
And John Benet Ramsey.
Studied so much, and we still don't know.
I'm still not convinced it was a sole gunman.
Yeah.
A lone gunman.
Yeah.
No. No, I went there. To where the area
the
is, and everything.
There's no way you made that shot.
No, I mean you're looking way upstairs. You have to be there to see. I'm standing right at the street, mm-hmm. and they're like, "See that second window up there?" And I'm like, "I don't care if you are a marksman. You got to be one damn good one to get two of those. I mean, two good shots like that, mm-hmm. especially when he goes down, but then he comes back up like this. You know, so you can tell he got
shot in the face.
Yeah,
that way too.
Yeah."
Because of the way the trajectory and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. I would say John Benet as well. I'm still not 100% convinced that O.J. did everything.
There was someone else there.
Because Goldberg was a black belt. Goldman was a black belt. O.J.'s an old dude. This kid was a young, buff guy. Unless he caught him at the right time, I mean, mm-hmm. could just... But I think it was more than one person for sure.
Interesting. There's a theory that Al Callings was with
him. They were saying, I watched, the guy from TMZ, Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. He did a special on it, and he said that, you know, there was two Broncos, because OJ's would have been full of blood, but there's only a little bit of blood. He took his clothes, changed in another vehicle, and then got into that one and had a little bit of blood on
him. I think it might have been his older son.
But Al Callings has the exact same Bronco as OJ. Identical. Broncos.
Oh, wow.
But that's one thing this other guy just said. You know, he goes, why aren't we still going after O.J.'s son? Because he was in a picture with that black hat, and it had dog hair on it. O.J. didn't own a dog, but his son's sitting in a picture with this dog.
Uh-huh.
His son had some mental health issues.
Yeah, he had a lot of mental health.
His son was a culinary.
And he had already been arrested, a couple weeks or a month before that with a knife assault.
Yeah, and I think that he had some domestic violence against him as well.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
what do we think about Cato? Is he up there?
I think he's a blonde goofball. Cato. And he was just in it because, I'm going to get some camera time.
Right.
Yeah.
His hair, though. Yeah. He has some nice hair.
He really, really did. He was cute.
Yeah.
Do you want to do anything this summer, trips-wise or whatever, but crime-wise, do you have what is your goal on your free time with for pleasure and for work?
She's going to learn how to weld because that's on the... She owes him one. No.
I do. My partner is wonderful.
He's
puts
cool.
up with my crazy cat lady antics. We have some feral kittens in our house right now. He's not thrilled.
Okay.
But he dogs too, thrilled. Right?
I have two dogs, two cats, some feral kittens.
Oh, perfect. I love that.
I met him at Spirit Hounds. Very nice guy. We met a couple of different times.
Yeah.
Because you guys would sit in the booth back here and went to a couple of different things. Yeah. So
he's way
very,
cool.
very nice guy. Yeah.
And then my daughter is graduating from the University of Manchester. So
wow.
I am
headed
across the pond for the first time. And I'm trying to decide what shirt I can wear to offend the Brits the most.
That's right. I saw that. We'll have to show pictures on the Facebook page. But
one
of them had
really
George Washington.
Teeth.
Yes.
A big smile.
I posted some on my Facebook page. Some of my friends are like, they don't have a sense of humor. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
But I do.
So am I.
Look at that. She has a shirt with teeth on it.
What was the George Washington one? It's like, it's only treason if you get caught or... There's just so many good ones.
And something about you lost at 13 colonies. I can't remember that one. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that'll be so fun. What is she studying?
Film studies.
Awesome.
Oh, neat.
Yes.
That's awesome. Cool.
She does her, she does some social media stuff and helps with the university Facebook page. And
great.
That stuff.
Is that your first visit over there?
Yes. I've been to Mexico, but never.
How long has she been over there?
3 years.
Oh, wow.
I've never been over there.
That's crazy. So. That's going to be a cool trip.
So nice. Do you have any plans for any more forensics camps or the
book club.
Book club or anything at this point?
I do. I'm still working with Spirit Hound. I missed the last one because I got really sick, so we're setting up some stuff. I do some stuff at Chaluna Brewery.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Some stuff.
We're
going
to have
too.
To get that
yeah, we'll have to get information so we can put it out and say, hey, guys, join tonight.
Yeah,
so.
And then also give us all your socials that you want, anything you want to promote for yourself and stuff. We'll promote it on our socials.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
And I'll do the same.
Yeah, yes, yeah, definitely. Perfect.
But it's so funny how, like, Shelly and I met, and just if you're open to it, life throws you people. So I was at an event a couple weeks ago, and I was sitting next to Dr. Nicoletti, who used to be the Denver Police Department psychologist.
Oh,
now he
wow.
does threat assessments, and that's what I'm going back to school in.
Oh, nice.
The fall, I want to get my doctorate in threat assessments.
Congratulations.
Tell me what that is. I don't know
what
that is.
So doing threat assessments for, like, schools to see who might be prone to violence.
Oh,
who's the kid that's, you know, you're being really quiet, being kind of weird, get into his head, figure him out before he takes everybody else out, kind of thing, right?
Yeah, as a teacher, I'm like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are some red flags for you? Knowing what you know now, obviously you haven't taken the threat assessment thing yet, but
most school shooters mm-hmm. say something about it beforehand.
Yeah.
And I lived by Columbine, and I was in grad school, and they actually sent out a call for victim advocates, and I'd been a victim advocate before I was a police officer in Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went, and they allowed me. I wasn't a victim advocate there, but I passed out food to first responders.
Okay.
Where they had the victims' families. And that was very interesting, too. And I'm so interested in what causes people
of
to
course.
Do
so,
yeah.
And the Las Vegas one. I mean,
there's a whole different story there, too. That one's too big.
That's mm-hmm.
I mean, to have
one.
That much ammo, gun stuff in those two rooms, and they were, like, letting him use the service elevator to get up to his rooms instead
right?
of a regular elevator.
Yeah, what the hell?
I found that really suspect myself, you know.
Yeah. Did you hear our episode, Slave to the Grind, one and two?
I don't think I've listened to that one yet.
So we have a really good friend who is a nurse in Vegas. She lives out there and was present for all of that, and it's really fascinating. But so when you were doing the volunteer stuff and just what you're seeing through media and everything right now, do you feel that teenagers are becoming more numb and hardened to these kind of tragedies?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially teaching teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say this, but unless it's a high kill count,
yeah.
even the media doesn't really publicize it anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's horrible. I think we're all becoming desensitized.
Yeah, that's what's sad. You don't want something we shouldn't become mm-hmm. desensitized mm-hmm. to. It's just become the norm.
Yeah.
Right.
And with us having as many young kids, we got 14 grandkids, and they're now, a few of them are moving up to the, we have one that just graduated, a couple more, they're moving up into the high school area and then into junior high and stuff. You don't want to ever think. It hurts your heart to think. What could you? Are they going to be okay today?
Right.
You know.
When
we were kids, yeah. we got pissed off each other. Went out in the parking lot, beat each other up, and walked back in. Want a milk? Your parents are going to see you tonight. You don't worry. And you know, it's just it's kind of yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, she was deciding between American University and the UK, and there was a part of me that said, kind of want to go to the UK
because
it's safer.
Yeah,
it's safer.
I right. worry every night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
I don't blame you. Well, you are a very accomplished, interesting, kick-ass lady, and thank you for joining us today. Unless you guys had any other questions,
I think we got everything answered.
Did you have any questions for us? We'll answer it unless it's about.
Oh, can we ask one quick question? Because we did this before in the opening.
Yeah,
tell us something you got away with, crime wise.
Okay, so and then. Just before I talk about that, okay, there's a great Instagram. I love social media.
Yeah.
There's a great Instagram page that shows just videos of animals pooping.
Yes,
perfect. I don't know why I'm so obsessed, but it is the best. You know what?
We're so cute.
Our thing. The elephant pooping.
Oh, Linus poops. We like high five each other. It's just exciting. It's good for you. Everything's working.
That's hilarious.
You'll have to send me that link.
So I grew up in Boulder, and I was a feral Gen X kid. Not only that, I also lived with my aunt and uncle, and my uncle was a gambler, so they went to Vegas a lot. I ran around that town, no curfew or anything, and my friend and I, summer in Boulder was great. Great place to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Boulder Mall, you'd cruise, and then you'd walk the mall. So she picked me up one night, and she had a 57 Chevy, a blue 57 Chevy that we painted pink stripes on with spray paint, not fancy car paint, just spray paint. She hit a car on the way to the Boulder Mall. And we just drove off. We were dumb young kids. The statute of limitations has expired. So we get a block from the mall, and I'm sure Boulder was training a new officer. They do a felony car stop on us.
No.
So all of our friends, a lot of upperclassmen, stared at us as we had to get out of the car with our hands on the head, walk back to the car. So thankfully we were not arrested, but
they were making an example.
And the cop was like, "We got a report that a 57 Chevy with pink stripes hit a car. Wasn't us."
Yeah. There's another one out there.
Wasn't us. I don't know.
Them copycatters.
That's hilarious.
That's pretty hard to get out of.
So when you said you were, you know, at that age, you were like going to the mall. So when it was before Flatirons, that's what the Boulder Mall was. Was Flatirons, and my grandpa was the head of security there.
Crossroads.
I'm sorry. Crossroads.
Well, Crossroads was the mall, but then you had the Boulder.
Yeah, but Crossroads was the big mall where everybody would go hang out. And my grandpa was the head of security there and would walk around. And so we went up there, me and a buddy of mine went up there. Well, we seen a couple of girls that we knew weren't over there talking. Here comes my grandpa, walks over and he puts his arm around this one girl, you know, and I was like, "That's kind of weird, Grandpa." And they're like, "Oh, hey, Earl, how are you? How are you?" He goes, "Are these boys bugging you?" You know, but all the kids knew him. You know, he was kind of the opposite. When he was a cop, he was a hard ass. Then when he got that job, everybody loved him.
Oh.
You know, "Oh, there's Earl." You know,
that's like how it is with old guys.
That's cute. Who doesn't love an Earl?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Well, did you guys ever go to the Boulder Mall Crawl on Halloween?
Oh, God.
We did that on the show.
Don't get this one started. She'll take her clothes off.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a thing.
Okay, you should do a whole show on that.
We did it on a Halloween special once. We did a little bit about that.
Yeah, we talked about it.
It was terrifying because you can't escape.
You can't move.
You're part of a human wave. And then, that's terrifying. But that kind of got me interested in, because you and I had just taken that sociology class about that time. And learning about mob mentality and all of those things that you're not supposed to do in an emergency. You know, like there was a nightclub that had a fire and everybody got smushed against the exit door instead of breaking a window with a chair that was right there and we didn't know that then.
We also made the mistake of we were flashers and we just wore trench coats with nothing underneath it except for pantyhose. And that was dumb.
We thought it was funny at the time. It was funny.
We weren't really going to flash people, so why didn't we just wear clothes?
I don't know.
I don't know.
And we were like, we're going to die naked with a trench coat on. We're going to look like the
got
frog
trampled,
on
but
Sesame Street.
Goodness gracious.
It was horrible.
It didn't slip by me that you said that you lived with your aunt and uncle. So I know that you were emancipated, but that's going to be a cocktail conversation that later if we want.
Okay.
So if you watch the Patreon, maybe you'll hear it, maybe you won't. But I really wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time to come out here and share your experience and stories with us. I think you're awesome. We never get to meet new friends at 52 years old. It's kind of great. So anyway, and we like all the same things. We like ceramic and whiskey and crime, and it's great. So anyway, Stacey, thank you very, very much. Gen X. We'll be right back with What You Talking About.
What You Talking About.
Let's talk about
Hi, welcome back to Whatcha Talking About, which is our segment that we talk about whatever the hell we want to.
That's right.
So I am going to go first because I can, because I decided that.
Bully.
And this, it comes from E! News. It may be old news by the time, well, it's only, we're only about a week out. But did you guys know Justin Timberlake got arrested for a DWI?
Daryl's boyfriend.
I know.
Free
I thought he was
man.
Perfect. Free JT.
Free my man.
Free JT. Okay, let me read you a little something about this. Justin Timberlake.
We're not all perfect.
Hey. Justin Timberlake refused to be tested for impairment and allegedly told authorities that he had one martini and he is arrested for DWI in New York on June 18th, according to police. More details around surrounding JT's arrest have surfaced. The NSYNC alum was taken into police custody on June 18th after appearing to be in an intoxicated condition during a traffic stop in Sag Harbor, New York, according to criminal complaint by NBC News.
Criminal complaint? Was he complaining?
According to a criminal complaint.
Oh, criminal complaint. Okay.
Obtained by NBC News.
I have a lot of questions.
Well, I'm not done yet.
Okay.
Give me answer your questions in the rest of it. Timberlake was behind the wheel of a gray BMW with Florida plates when he pulled over around 12:17 a.m. for driving through the stop sign and failing to stop on the right side of the road, per the court's filings. While speaking with 43-year-old, authorities noticed his eyes were bloodshot and glossy. That's because he works a hard life. He was crying himself a river.
Yeah, he's a little
with
sad.
A strong odor of alcohol beverage was emulated from his breath.
He wears that cologne.
It's called Martini Cologne.
Yeah, Martini.
Panther sweat.
They noticed that Timberlake had slowed speech and was able to give the, his divided, was unable to divide attention.
Give his most, again, undivided attention.
Like, yeah,
he was a little bored. Come on, guys,
it.
Let me go. I got to get home.
After the Grammy women's performance poorly... Oh, hi. After the Grammy winner performed poorly, say that 10 times fast, on all standardized field tested, was like to touch your nose, walk a straight line, blah, blah,
sing
blah.
Sing two lyrics of a song.
Right. The singer declined to be tested, like blood tested,
mm-hmm.
and he said, no, I'm not doing a chemical test. Before he was read the Miranda rights and arrested, he said, nope, not doing it, not having it. This determined it was the basis in part for the undersigning training and experience in detecting intoxication and administering field sobriety test has been involved in numerous DWI cases. See, that's the thing. So, I'm sorry, I went off the rails, but how did they know if they don't have a blood alcohol level, if it's a DUI or DWI, is that like...
That's a great question.
Okay, I don't know the answer to that. The officer wrote in the complaint, adding to Timberlake also allegedly told him during the traffic stop, I had one martini and I followed my friend home. Well, where's your friend at now, JT? I don't know that.
I guess a bunch of people came from the bar,
mm-hmm.
that seen what was going on. They're like, you know, don't arrest him. We'll get him home and everything. They were trying to get him out of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was released without bail after being held overnight. They kept the poor guy all overnight. He had no friends like Jeff Goldman to get him out.
So I hope he listens to the show.
He's
on the Facebook
Jeff
group.
Or I think so. Justin.
Jeff.
Justin like,
listens to the show.
At least one person on this show loves me.
He might be busy. I don't know.
Okay, he was at dinner with his friends before the arrest. He left the restaurant. There was a patrol car seemingly stationed near the restaurant.
It's
and
a setup. He was set up.
Was stopped and was arrested. Nobody was hurt. So... That's where we're sitting. We will find out more about Daryl's boyfriend, Justin Timberlake, and his tragedy. I'm going to say that if that's the worst he's done, then God bless him.
Yeah.
Give him a break.
And
two things.
And he's really funny on SNL.
He's the funniest.
Yeah.
So if you only say that you've had one drink and you've only had one drink, mm-hmm. I leave the guy alone. However, a martini is kind of like having five drinks.
True.
It's straight booze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, and also you're rich. Get an Uber or whatever.
True.
Also that. But the funniest part about that story, I think, is like former NSYNC alum Justin Timberlake. That's like saying the guy that sang "Good Vibration." It's like fucking Mark Wahlberg. That's 30 years ago.
Right? What are we doing? Why here? Do you have to? Well, because I just didn't want to say Justin.
Do you think he said, right. "Don't
boat, take me down to Hoochie Town.
Yeah. Oh, I love that curly haired comic.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Good one, Lise.
Yep, yeah, so that's what I'm talking about.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. You go ahead.
Yeah, I shall.
Yeah, I'll end with a bang.
Okay, fine. I'll just be in the middle so you can just hide me in a sandwich of boring.
You go.
All right, this is from my favorite news source, History Facts. It's an email, and it's about your favorite celebrity, Winston Churchill.
Well, yeah. Oh, Winston.
Oh, Winnie. Well, I knew I liked this guy, and now this reinforces it. So Winston Churchill had a doctor's note to let him drink alcohol during Prohibition. From the 18th Amendment's ratification on January 16th, 1919, until its repeal in 1933, Prohibition dominated American society. Most libation lovers were forced to either give up alcohol or acquire it by illicit means, while other cunning booze hounds conceived of clever workarounds. Ooh, that's a fun rhyme. One such individual was British statesman Winston Churchill, who capitalized on an otherwise unfortunate accident he suffered on December 13, 1931. He was hit by Justin Timberlake. After being struck by a vehicle while crossing Fifth Avenue in New York City, Churchill experienced great pain, for which his doctor conveniently prescribed alcohol as a treatment, though it was likely Churchill himself who requested this specific medicine. Otto C. Pickhardt, M.D., wrote, Churchill necessitates the use of alcoholic spirits, especially at mealtimes, thus permitting the future prime minister to skirt the law during his stateside visits. Pickhardt described the dosage as naturally indefinite, but no less than 250 cubic centimeters of hooch. How much hooch is that?
And what is, I mean, what exactly did he drink?
Well, I like, he goes, the doctor goes, well, we'll just prescribe you a little bit of bourbon. He goes, no, I'll be taking some vodka. Vodka only.
Yeah, what, yeah. Did he ask what kind he could, Shelley, I need answers.
Well, I will round it up by saying this. Churchill's drinking wasn't to be impeded upon by laws or religion, as he once imbibed in the presence of Saudi King Ibn Saud. Churchill used an interpreter to explain, my religion prescribed as an absolute sacred ritual, smoking cigars and drinking alcohol before, after, and if need be, during all meals and the intervals between them.
I want to go to that church.
You go, woo-hoo! Buddy.
Okay.
And that's my Wichita Boo.
All right. That was a good one. Well, mine's a bit of a commercial. Me and the tech witch went out to lunch the other day, and we went over to Perry's Pizza in Arvada, and I got to tell you guys, they have a thing called Perry's Pear. Ooh. And it's you can get two things for $9.99. Great food. I got a beef dip, or French dip, beef dip.
Yeah.
And I got wings.
Mm.
Had a beer, $9.99. Well, the beer
shut
was
your
extra.
Face.
But they run the special from noon to 4.
I got a stromboli.
She got a stromboli. And I think
and
I'm, the
wings.
Next time, I'm going to get the stromboli. It was a little bit bigger than my beef dip.
Well, that's unheard of. You can't go to Taco Bell for $9.99.
No.
Mine was like a Italian stromboli. Paul got
chicken.
It was like a club chicken stromboli.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And stuff. So yeah, super good.
But yeah, you know, it's great. I mean, the portions are, like I said, nice and big. It was a good lunch for us. They've got the Arvada location, and they have the North Glen location.
Awesome.
Another plus for this little place, you know, it's, you know, Colorado based place, you know, but they also have 120 craft beers on tap.
That's so many.
And it's
that's
a lunch special, a so it's
yeah,
just
for the lunch special,
4,
yeah.
I think.
And they also have a $10.99 where you can upgrade. It's a little bit bigger sandwich and stuff like that. But for the $9.99, mm-hmm. I got me a, you know, and the Lisa lunch, everything. Got it there for under $40, and I was like, that was
unbelievable.
Incredible. Yeah.
Great.
But,
Perry's Pizza, we're coming at you.
Perry's Pizza, yeah. So there you go, guys. Get out there and get you some Perry's Pizza.
Sweet. Well, then we will be back with the wow.
Wow.
Now, ladies, it's time for the Cosmic Seeker of Love. He's more than just a mule, and he ain't no sloppy Joe. Oh, yeah, he's the man witch. Oh, yeah.
Wah, oh, wah, oh, wah, wah. Wah, it's wow time. Wah, wah, wah.
Dude, we
hey
are
guys,
so
it's
good
wild
at this.
Time. Yes, all right.
Wow, you would have thought we practiced that or something.
No, that was just off the hook,
I know,
man.
You guys are amazing.
That was a good one. He's very impressed with himself.
I am.
As always.
I'm easily amazed, you know.
Yeah.
Can't
especially with myself.
Time.
You went first last time. Let's have you go first this time.
Those of you that are new to the show, our last segment of the day is called The Wow. It's a Well of Wisdom. Lisa does animals, and as I explained last time, she doesn't really do the animals. She talks about animals. And Daryl's is music, and mine is true crime. So, true crime rule number 26. Nobody's buying your split personality defense, you dipshit.
Come on, that's the nobody's best one.
Tell that to Sybil.
Made popular as a Hail Mary by such POSs and 80s psychos as Ken Bianchi, one of the assholes comprising the Hillside Stranglers, John Wayne Gacy, Billy Milligan from the popular Netflix documentary, he became the first to be found not guilty due to dissociative identity disorder.
Is that the one that Edward Norton played?
No, that I don't think that was real, was it? Maybe it was based on him.
Okay.
But this guy, I think, said he had 24 personalities.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
And watching him, he was fairly convincing.
Oh.
So I don't know if he had a deal or not, but really scary shit. But John Wayne Gacy, my probably least favorite person, he claimed to have four personalities, including Bad Jack, who just tested homosexuality.
Oh, I thought you meant like Bad Jack Daniels. I'm like,
that's just a little gay.
Daryl's defense is I drank too much Jack Fire. Yes. His lawyers opted to have Gacy plead not guilty by reason of insanity. And he was like, well, that's just silly. I just have another guy that does all my killing for me. His name's Bad Jack.
And he's just, plays a little gay.
He just doesn't like gays. Just a little gay. He really doesn't like gays.
He was a gay. He tipped his toe into the gay.
Yeah, he definitely dipped his toe into some gay, but Bad Jack didn't like it.
Yeah.
And this guy sucks, obviously. Okay. So Gacy asked for a mistrial since he did not approve of the plea of the reason of insanity. He was found sane with antisocial disorder. That seems like kind of underselling it a little bit. Antisocial.
I'm just a little antisocial. It's fine. I don't know anything.
I don't really care for people. Right. I don't like them living, certainly.
They taste good, though.
He wasn't
an eater, but...
No,
wrong jerk.
Right.
He was sentenced to death after being convicted of 33 charges of murder, sexual assault, and indecent liberties with a child.
Mm.
Guys.
Yeah.
You're just a jerk by yourself.
Right.
Don't bring
your poor other guy into him.
Let's be honest. Let's say you have 67 personalities. Mm-hmm. One of them kills people, so you're all going to jail.
Right. Yeah.
Just pull them out and say, come with us.
Yeah.
No, so anyway, we're not buying it. True crime, rule number whatever I said, we're not buying it. We're not buying your defense.
I like that one.
Yes.
I got a question for you.
Please.
What about somebody like Patty Hearst who says, I wasn't in on it, they brainwashed me. How about that? They brainwashed me to help him. But in the videos and stuff, she sure looked like she was having a hell of a good time in there robbing banks with them and stuff.
She did. That's how I learned about shit. Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. She said, I was brainwashed. And she, because she was so rich and, and everything, her family was the Hearst family. She got off. She never did a thing.
That is a great example, Daryl. Stacey, do you remember what happened to her? Did she get off?
She never did anything because she said she was brainwashed. And they're like, oh, she goes, I was afraid. And, they totally brainwashed
me.
She's going, get down, you son of a bitches.
I'm going to shoot every motherfucking last one of them.
That's what I was trying to get at. But that's where that gal got the whole thing. She's like, I watched the Patty Hearst video. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, they should have claimed brainwashing instead.
Yeah. Yep. Brainwashing works a little bit better.
All right.
And that all 62 of you knew were brainwashed, weren't you? Yeah, we were. Yes, I was. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was. I agree. Over here.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, are you next?
I can be next, yeah. Okay. Mine is the music part of it. And today, my wow's about a personal friend of ours,
mm-hmm.
great guy, Mr. Brian Gamboa, who his new band is Breath of Ashes, and his new song coming out, it's Soul Divide, comes out on June 22nd, guys. Give it a listen, everything. It's going to be on all the main things, Spotify, YouTube, music, all this and that. But we were talking the other day, and it's just so cool, because this guy... we've known him for years, and he was even on Ed McMahon's show, Star Search, and stuff like that. He's finally got to the plateau where he's really killing it,
mm-hmm.
and he's out in Nashville and stuff. And so he's like, just if you need any information, let me know. But he goes, let me know what show it's on. I want to listen to it. And I said, well, I'd love to have you on the show. He goes, for you, buddy, anything.
Wonderful.
So the guy's cool. I mean, he's gotten big. He plays guitar and sings on Mick Mars' new album.
Wow.
He worked with him out in Nashville. And so, with that being said, I'm like, gosh, Lisa sang at Brian's wedding. Brian sang at our wedding, so it's like full circle. But just, I'm so proud of the guy. Just he's.
What's the name of his band?
It's Breath of Ashes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got a stellar voice. That's great.
And like I said, June 22nd, it comes out.
Fantastic. Good for you, Brian.
Yay. Well, I can't wait
and
to...
And that's my wow.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to him a little bit more. It's been a long time, and yay. Okay, mine. So mine's about animals, and this is something, I don't like to over talk anything or whatever and stuff. You're going to be very amazed, and this is probably going to change your life.
Okay.
Did you know? Female frogs fake death to escape unwanted male attention.
So do more normal females, I'm telling you. I've learned that over the years.
Well, there's that.
We're all God's
They're
creatures.
They're not the only ones who just croak.
So pay attention, because this is what happens. Female frogs have developed several ingenuous and sneaky tactics to get away from unwanted male attempting to mate them, one of which is faking their own deaths. Yep. These European common frogs can often be harmed or even killed by males attempting to mate with them during the breeding season, leading them to evolve defensive mechanisms against the advancements of hordes of horny males, according to the new study in the Journal of the Royal Society Open Science. The female frogs usually use tactics such as turning away from the grips of males or mimicking the release call of the male to trick him into letting her go, but occasionally they just pretend to die.
So they make him think he's got a male?
Yes. So it's like...
And the male's like, oh, sorry, bro.
This is a picture. I know this is not
a visual medium,
but you will see it on Facebook. That's usually how frogs look like when they're dead. So this is a female frog just belly up saying,
oh my God.
Stop it.
Yeah. I thought I invented that.
No, well...
I'm just a little dead.
The most common... That's just when you're drunk.
You
just pretend like you're sleeping. No, I'm sleeping. Okay. The most common behavior is turning... While a female tries to turn on her own axis to escape the male's grip. Okay. Anyways, it goes on. But the thing that I found that was really funny with this whole article when I read through it before I was reading it to you was that it says that, okay, wait. So there's like toxic stuff that embodies everything and this and that. And then I just totally lost my train of thought.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah. God. It had something to do with...
You can hallucinate
if you lick a frog, you can hallucinate. That wasn't it at all.
Okay.
Damn it, because I didn't... I was like, that is so funny. I'm not even going to have to, like, put that as part of it.
Usually people lick a frog to get high.
I remember now.
Yeah.
It said that the male frogs didn't care about the body type of the female frog.
Oh, wow. So if it was a chubby frog, they don't care?
They don't care.
Well, God bless them, you know.
Yeah, it's tough, because I was like, that's hilarious.
I think that's pretty shitty if you're a chubby frog and you turn them away. You know, it's come on.
It says also that other studies have been seen of this faking death tactic as being used in sexual contexts in species such as spiders, dragonflies, but most commonly it's just used to
avoid predators.
The American female?
Oh.
I'm going to borrow that. The next time a male frog comes up to me and tries to hop my leg, I'm going to be like, I'm a dude. And I'm going to
go like this.
Except they're like, we don't care about your big butt, Shelly. Except it's totally fine.
I could do worse.
And that's my wow.
Oh,
that's
that was
great.
A beautiful wow.
I'm sorry, I lost my train.
No, that's fine. I love it.
That was heaven.
Okay. Did you hear me like trying to backtrack? I'm like making shit up. Thanks.
It worked. Don't
don't give it too much. I shouldn't like.
Nope.
Okay.
You're totally fine.
It was a good save. Let's leave it at that.
Okay. That was my male squeak.
I was going to say, I thought that was the gorilla one.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you for coming to our show. It was fun. It was a nice episode.
Great
thank you, Stacey, for coming and joining in the fun. We are in the summer of discovery. I have been so busy, we haven't been discovering shit.
No.
So,
we discovered the Black Box Bakery. We'll put that out.
That's our first. We checked that off.
We checked that off the box. Shelly brought over Black Box Bakery. It was really good.
Mm-hmm. It was really good.
Yeah. So much that we got like full really fast, too.
Yeah. And then next week, are we going to do my field trip?
Yeah.
Yes. With the day that this comes out, we will be joining all of you at the Rocky Mountain Arsenal.
Yeah.
At 5:00. Bring a picnic basket, as Lisa suggested. And besides that, just stay bitchy, my friends. No, fuck. Shit. Stay witchy, my friends.
Stay bitchy.